Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 321. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Park. And if I'd said the episode number, I would have said 321 contact.
Because he's an old fogey.
Because some of you out there actually remember that PBS TV show that went
along.
What
years was it out? What years was that? That was
it. A long time ago. So it was probably in the 70s and 80s.
Early 80s.
But it was like that show, Electric Company, and like one or two others.
I do remember Electric Company.
You remember Electric Company?
Yeah, I'll take Electric Company. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, this is episode 321, and it also happens to be on our seven-year anniversary of the release of our first episode. So 7 years and going, man. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, the very first episode of this was on February 7th, 2017.
Yep.
Which was, I actually started listening to that episode again because I wanted to refresh myself on what did we say back
what
then?
What happened then?
I'd always said that there were three episodes that we recorded and didn't release, but apparently it was only two episodes that we recorded and didn't release.
Good to know.
At least that's what we said on the podcast. We might have been lying. I don't know.
Yeah, we're prone to do that. So
yeah, exactly. We didn't want to make it seem like we were so bad that we had to do three episodes then go. So it was only two. Two episodes. But
well, so this is gonna be great. We have a good show for you today. We are gonna get into the Apple Vision Pro again. I got a lot to say on that. But for the first article, this is kind of a throwback to episode one, right? So episode one, we talked about Snap going public. And the article to start off with is Snap shares drop 30% after company's revenue miss and weak guidance. So there's your update to Snap in case you just missed it for 7 years. Now you know.
Not great. I think we talked about it and we were like, I don't know, not going to invest in this. Something, you know, we kind of hemmed and hawed around. We didn't give investment advice because that's not what we do.
No.
And you probably should not take investment advice from us either. But if you look at the stock price of Snap, I think they went public at around $27 a share. They rocketed at 1.83. That's when you should have sold.
Yeah,
because now it's at 11.5.
Yeah.
So, but what was interesting was we talked about them not making any money back then.
Right.
And they actually are profitable now.
Okay.
They actually do earn money. So they're not negative.
I will say
about them and Twitter and a bunch of other folks back then.
I did actually use Snap today, but I only use it to Snap my wife and my oldest child. Like that's the only thing I do on Snap is I Snap them, and then I put my phone down and I realize that
like
I'm not a teenager.
Like, yeah, is this how you do?
That's what I do.
The snapping.
Speaking of, I was on TikTok the other day and I saw Sheryl Crow on there, and she was like, "My kids say I'm not cool enough to be on TikTok," and then she goes, "Oh wait, I said it again. It's TikTok," and I was like, "Wow, okay." So there we go.
I imagine that was intentional. By the way,
I think so. Yeah,
I'm not on Snap either. I don't know. I'm definitely not cool enough.
It's okay.
I don't really know why I would be on Snap, but
yeah.
If I'm trying to figure out where to go, now I've got a better way to get there. Google Maps is getting a major AI upgrade. What you need to know.
Yeah, and it's like generative AI, which is interesting considering the fact that like you're not really generating anything with Google Maps. But I think the idea is like, it's essentially just better search results. Like it intuitively knows, right? Like what you kind of want, what you're looking for.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I was worried that it was going to be generative AI on the map itself. And there were going to have stories of people driving into lakes. We already have stories of people driving into lakes because that's what Google Maps tells us.
We have sitcoms of people driving into lakes. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of my favorite Office episodes.
That was a great Office episode.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But it's telling me to go this way.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to do it. All right. Next up, finance worker pays out $25 million after video call with deep fake, quote, chief financial officer. But not just a video call with just one person.
Yeah.
This was a video call with like eight people, and every single person on the call was deepfaked. And this person, I think, personally knew several of the people on the call that were deepfaked and didn't catch on that it was deepfaked. And then, you know, by the, you know, command or what at request of the CFO, moved $25 million into a scammer account.
And the money is gone.
Gone forever.
We've talked about these before, and it's never been a video deepfake.
No, it's getting scarier.
It's been phone calls. Mm-hmm. So, you should watch out the video things that you join. You know, you and I were actually on a video call the other day, and I don't know if you noticed, but somebody in there had a note-taking bot in there.
Oh yeah. It was a Fireflies bot. Yeah, and that's that's like, and that's super common. My favorite thing is if I get into a meeting early and it's just me and the note-taking bot, I say a bunch of weird stuff for it to transcribe. So if it's like, if it's your note-taking bot, I'll be like, Sanjay loves unicorns, Sanjay loves unicorns, Sanjay loves unicorns. Like just, you know, just forever. And then like, hey Sanjay, what's going on? Let me know if those notes look good to you when you, how's that?
Send over those notes right away, right after the call. Don't look at them. Yeah. Just send them. Just send. Just do the send. Something else you want to send or not send. Mozilla's monitors, new service removes your personal info from data broker sites automatically. The buried part of this is, and it's going to cost you, I think it's $14 a month.
Not only is that buried, I pretty much very quickly recognized it was a subscription. So, I mean, you know.
But they do have a free version. The free version doesn't automatically unsubscribe you from things. But you could go through the process yourself. I've not tried this out yet. I've tried some of these services out that do this and tell you what data brokers have your data out there. But I'm going to give this a try and just see what it finds. And you know what? I don't mind actually going through the rigmarole and doing it myself.
I mind. I would pay the $15 for like 2 months and then I'd cancel.
That's what I don't understand because you don't necessarily need this every month forever. Need it for like a couple months and then maybe in like 2 years you need it for another couple months.
I think they're counting on suckers that sign up for subscriptions and then forget about them entirely and then realize later on like, oh crap, I've been paying a lot of money for no reason.
So. Yeah. But more broadly, this is an interesting move because Mozilla has been reliant on ads from search engines, namely Google, for the longest time. They've made a ton of money on Google.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're now starting to diversify their income streams into other things like this, which is, I think, a great thing. I will mention, and I did not tag this, but I saw I'm a big Thunderbird fan, which is the, most people don't know, but it's the email client that comes from Mozilla.
Right.
And it's great. I've been using it for decades now.
Since the beginning of the internet, basically.
Yeah, I mean, not since the beginning, because in the beginning, I was using Eudora, which was an email client for the Apple II computers.
All right, fancy pants. I see where you're going.
That was a long time ago. But Thunderbird, they had a big announcement, and I think it's really going to take off this year. They are going to add native integration to check Exchange email boxes directly in the client. So you don't have to use Outlook anymore to connect to your Exchange server, which is a lot of corporate email client or email servers.
Get away from Outlook. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. Plan. So it's good stuff.
All right. Next up, researchers achieve super safe, ultra fast lithium ion battery charging. What I did not see in the article is how ultra fast it is. Like I saw, like it's safer. It can. It seemed like the battery even lasted longer than like normal recharge cycles,
right?
And like in maintained a larger charge over time. But I didn't see a time. Did you see a time? Did I miss it or something?
I didn't see a time either. And I bet you it's because they probably haven't scaled this up to understand how fast they could actually do it.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting because it's just a change in the electrolyte of the battery. So most of the technology of the lithium ion part is still the same, it sounds like, but it's just the electrolyte, which means that this might be actually a technology that could roll out into cars a lot quicker than solid state. So it might actually end up filling the gap in between what we have now, which is okay, not great.
Right.
To the, hey, solid state is perfect and will last forever,
right.
But it's going to take us some time to get there. So maybe it fills that gap in between, or maybe it also helps us with laptop batteries and phone batteries and them not getting all bulgy on us and, you know, degrading over time. That's like one of the main reasons I think people switch phones out is because the batteries, which are now sealed, which hopefully they won't be with right to repair, they become short in life and then you're like, I can't.
It's just worthless. Yeah. I mean, I can't
use a phone with 15 minutes of battery life. I need more than 15 minutes.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, yeah. That's right.
Next up, here we go into the Apple Vision.
Oh man, we're about to get into some stuff right here. Yeah. This is going to be great.
Apple is forcing users who forgot the password to their $3,500 Vision Pro to either reset it in store, or there's a sub one. You could send it in. You could mail it back to them, and they'll reset it and send it to you.
All right. So people are
already forgetting their codes. It's only been out for days.
So much. So that's my first problem. Like, what is your problem that you're going to set a code on this $3,500 device and not, and it's not something you can remember? Number two, they are rolling out a software update that is going to fix this. Number three, apparently when you would go to the store, they would attach what's called a quote unquote developer strap to it that has it now that then has a USB-C input that they could plug into a computer, and then they would do a hard reset and wipe the whole device. You'd reset it up at that point. So, which actually that's kind of an interesting, like I didn't know how they, you know, hardwired into it. Apparently that's how they quote developer strap, which is interesting. So, but also, this is kind of a shocking user experience miss on Apple's part. Like for a company that is so good at user experience consistently, to not realize that people are going to need password resets seems like a big miss to me. So
I think it's their theory of like, well, everybody's like us. We don't have dumb users. Yeah, you got dumb users.
Yeah, I mean, you just do. Like that's it. Or what you have is like, hey, Dad, this Apple Vision Pro looks really cool. Can I set it up? Yeah, buddy, go ahead and set it up. Okay, buddy, what was that password? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what the... You set it up without the... You don't know what the password... No, I don't know what the... Okay, then I'm just... I gotta go.
I wonder if this developer strap is some kind of custom thing that now there's going to be versions of it for sale to hack your Vision Pro.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's the way that they'll eventually like open up a developer market for this, right? The same way they have for the iPhone, and this is what you'll have to buy in order to set it up and all the other stuff. So I assume it'll become a common thing in the near future, and there'll probably be aftermarket options for it as well. So next up in the Apple Vision Pro, and I'm going to segue to articles that we don't have, and rail on the Tesla Cybertruck just for a minute here too. But
okay.
Don't wear an Apple Vision Pro while driving, Pete Buttigieg says. Also says like your mother and anybody with any degree of like normalcy or thoughtfulness.
Or all of the world that is around you.
Or anyone.
Because we don't want you crashing into us.
Right. I've seen so many TikToks about the Apple Vision Pro reviews. And I've seen a TikTok of a guy driving a Cybertruck with an Apple Vision Pro, the Cybertruck self-driving. I mean, that whole thing. So a couple of quick thoughts.
Self-driving in quotes.
Well, okay. It's self-driving the same way that every other car is self-driving on the interstate, basically.
So
right?
Like not.
So not. So I'll say a couple of quick thoughts, right? Number one, by all accounts that I've seen, the Apple Vision Pro is just It is to this market what the iPhone was when it came out. It was like, this is unbelievable. This is a whole new thing. It's going to change everything. I do see that coming true. There was a guy that I watched, and he said he went out into the world wearing his Apple Vision Pro. And he's only got a 2-hour battery life, so he had a backup battery with it. And he ended up keeping it on for like 4 to 5 hours, just out in the world, just every day. And he said he reached this moment where he forgot he was in the Apple Vision Pro completely, and it just became this integrated part of his life. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that is the future of computing. And like, I can see it. Like, I can see that might be the future, and that probably is the future of computing. So that's the thought there. I mean, any responses to that before I move on to my next thing?
So I read an article, I think it was in the Washington Post, about this.
Okay.
And their take was they tried it. They used the Meta Quest.
One, yeah, the Meta Quest 3.
Right? They were doing the same thing, and they were like, you should use it, but not that much. You should use your phone and your laptop for all the things that you need to, and only use this in the extreme cases where you really do need this, because they felt like looking at people through these basically made them seem like they were on TV or characters and kind of dehumanize them. And they kind of worried that, look, this is going to cause this lack of human contact and interaction and cause us to not be able to relate to one another if you have these on your head all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't they say the same thing about cell phones? Didn't they say the same thing about like, I feel like it's the same argument, right?
Because this is an actual thing, like it's an interface between you and the person. Yeah. Like,
well, no,
eye contact is different. I think.
No, I agree. So I agree. Like, I agree. Like, I would not want to be in a room where you and I are trying to like engage in a, like doing this, wearing an Apple Vision Pro, like that would be ridiculous to me. But I can see like if I'm going out into a new city that I've never been to before, for example, and I've got the Apple Vision Pro and I've got my map up, my spatial map up, and I've got, you know, whatever
can't
else.
Can't you do this on your phone?
You can, but I it becomes a lot easier to do it with that. For, I mean, it's I would argue from what I've seen, it's substantially easier on the Apple Vision Pro than it is on your phone. And so I think that's
but
what we're
going.
But I feel
like you look like more like a tourist with that thing strapped to your head.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. But then, again, like, but it's the difference of like, it's the difference between new technology that look where you look like a psycho today versus new technology where it becomes normal. Like for example, right? Like, I mean, if you go back to the 90s and you watch somebody walking down the street looking at a rectangular square in their hand, you would think they're absolutely bizarrely insane. Like you'd be like, what are you doing? Like what you look like a moron. But like now
people talking to themselves.
Yeah. Like I mean, Bluetooth.
Then,
yeah.
It's like, oh, that's
yeah. So I mean,
something's wrong with that.
So
person.
I think as the headset, I mean, so this is version one, right? So I think version five, this headset is much less obtrusive. I think it's much lighter. I think it's much more comfortable. I think it's got a huge suite of apps and everything else related to it. And I think it becomes, I mean, I think we get to a point where 40% of people out in public are wearing something crazy like this. And it's just like, this is the norm.
I think the given the size of it and like the just interface strapped to your head, I think it's going to be, I think you're going to have all of these challenges. I think if you can get it to the point where it's a contact lens and it's in your eye.
Or just regular glasses, like just regular old glasses.
Regular glasses. Yeah. That don't look like Google Glass, that just look like normal glasses.
Right.
But give you a little bit, I feel like a little bit of information would be great. Like for me personally, telling me people's names when they're walking up to me, man, that's all I need.
That's been your dream forever. You've been talking about that forever. For 7 years, you've been talking about that. So.
I don't think I talked about it on episode one, but pretty close. Yeah. I did, by the way, talk about Signal on episode one.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what Signal was on episode one. But if I could just get that one piece, I am okay looking at my phone for directions and everything else. Well, but just help me with the names.
But I think that's where it's going, right? Like, I think it becomes, because right now it's scuba goggles. Like it's a scuba mask, right?
Yeah.
But then in 3 years, it's not a scuba mask anymore. It's like big old Oakley sunglasses. You know what I'm saying? Like the big, like whatever ones. But then 5 years from that, it becomes, it's just your glasses. You know what I'm saying? Like it becomes more and more integrated into our everyday lives. So I think that's where it's going. I will say on the Tesla Cybertruck thing, man, I'm seeing so many TikToks that like, where it's failing going off road, where they're talking about if it gets rained on because it's aluminum, you've got to clean it off immediately. Because if you don't clean it off immediately, it's going to rust. And it actually says that on the Tesla website. It says on the Tesla website.
Wait a minute. Aluminum doesn't rust though.
No, it's not aluminum. I'm sorry. It's not aluminum. It's stainless steel.
Stainless steel is not supposed to rust.
I'm just telling you what the Tesla website says, according to all these TikTok. I don't know. Who knows? But there's
that's the whole point of stainless steel. It doesn't stain.
Man, there is so much hate out there. Like, it is wild, all of the bad things that the Cybertruck's dealing with. So
the Cybertruck was designed for a world where there is no rain.
I mean, it was designed for a world where I don't even know. I don't even know. So, all right, moving on. What's next, MJ?
Next up, someplace that AI is going to actually help us.
Okay.
Sorting recycling is hard. AI could help.
Oh, yeah. This was one of those gated articles that I couldn't read. So tell me about this one.
Oh, it's not gated for me.
You got one of those subscriptions or something going on.
I don't have one of those subscriptions. I might have an extension of some sort.
I went to it and I couldn't read it. So so tell me all about this one.
Yeah. So basically, look, here's the problem in the US is that we're told to throw everything in one giant bin because Americans are too lazy to separate all the stuff out. In Europe, correct. They separate all the recyclables.
It's like a bunch, like five or six different bins, isn't it? It's a bunch.
When you go there, I'm like, I don't know what goes into what.
Yeah.
And I honestly still get confused even going down to Emory. There's no trash at Emory. It's only recycling. So there's like compost and there's another thing and another. And I'm like,
I'm just going to keep this trash for later. I'm just going to. That's going to go in my pocket for...
This is mine now.
I know.
For the rest of the day, this is mine. But the idea here is to actually use cameras and vision and AI analysis to sort the trash so that you get the recycling better. Because the other challenge is because we're just jamming it all into one stream and not sorting on the front end, is that there ends up being contamination. And so a lot of the recyclable stuff can't be recycled. So we only recycle about 5% of plastic. Almost everything goes into the landfill. And we don't even do a great job with glass and aluminum and things like that that are easy to recycle.
Right.
So they're looking at this as a way of increasing recycling rates, which means that hopefully more better recycled products, but also lower carbon footprints because we don't have to keep making more new stuff.
Right. Right.
Because we can just keep reusing the old stuff. So
love that.
Really, really kind of a side effect of AI that I hadn't thought about. But now it makes me think like, huh, where else can AI help?
I will say, I think that's part of why Liquid Death, the water, went from like a water bottle, like a plastic water bottle, to aluminum cans, because aluminum cans are easy to recycle and it's not, it's all very straightforward, versus water bottles really don't really get, I mean, we'd like to think they don't get recycled. Like
plastic water bottles? No. Yeah.
So,
and with everything that, I don't think we've talked about this story, but now they're showing that a higher level of microplastics from drinking water in water bottles than other sources. So you really should not be using water bottles, even though, they're convenient, but they're also bad for you.
They're not. They're not great. Yeah.
Don't do that.
All right. Speaking of things you should not do, Meta says you better disclose your AI fakes or it might just pull them. It's also going to mark them as being AI fakes in the feed once you disclose that, which is good. I think that's helpful. I mean, that way we don't end up with a Balenciaga Pope again. Nobody wants a Balenciaga Pope. I kind of do.
Why don't you want that?
I really want to see a Pope wearing Jordans. Like that's really that, like that's, I feel like that's the pinnacle.
That was the miss in that picture. It should have been that and Jordans.
The Balenciaga coat and Jordans. Like that's, man, that's it right there. So.
I'm going to have to find a picture of you and get Midjourney or something to make you in a Balenciaga.
Dude, put some swag on me. I would love that. That would be amazing. So,
and then
it's going to be my profile picture. Like it's going to be the best.
And then a Flava Flav kind of big giant gold clock on your neck.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I can see it. I can see it now. Yeah.
You know, Flava Flav, if you still see him now, he still is rocking that big giant clock around his neck.
Seriously? Like he actually wears that like everywhere? The clock.
I've seen him on something and he's still, it's huge. And it's like, man, you're just sticking with that theme.
I mean, listen, once you got a shtick, that's why I wear a fedora. Once you got a shtick, man, you got to stick with it. Like that's, I mean, I'm being completely serious. Like once you are known and it's like your thing, it's like, that's your brand. Like you can't put it down. There's no going back. Like,
I really think you should get rid of the fedora and shave the beard and then see what happens.
People would be like, I don't trust you anymore. I don't even like you. I don't even know who you are. Who are you? What is happening? My kids would revolt.
This is
like,
that this is when you want to go on the lamb. That's what you do. You get rid of the hat.
Yeah,
Shave the beard.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Something that you can do while you're on the lamb is share where you're at on Blue Sky, because Blue Sky is ditching its wait list and now open to everyone. Do you have your Blue Sky account?
I don't. I think I'm going to sign up today, though. I was thinking about it. I
don't have one.
I never could get into Threads. I'm going to try Blue Sky out and see what happens.
Really?
I think it's only got like 3 million users right now. So I mean,
Threads is okay. I don't know if I'm going to do Blue Sky. I checked my preferred handle, just my first name, Sanjay, is already taken. And so that makes it like, I don't know. Do I want to do this? I think I've been spoiled because I had first name on Twitter.
Right. And, it ruined you, basically.
And since then, you know, it's like flying, and this happened to me too. Flying first class international. This happened when I just started working. I got bumped up to first class international.
What?
Which I got to tell you is I've never flown first class international after that.
Yeah.
But it's like lay down seats. It was a 5-course dinner with a excellent dessert at the end. Nobody sitting next to me.
Yeah.
It ruined me.
I don't ever want that to happen. No, that's flight a terrible after thing.
That, every flight after that, I'm like, well, it's nice. But I lay flat?
It's the worst thing that could have ever happened to you. That right there. Like I'm going to just be in coach forever because whatever they call it in the back of the plane.
Like that experience would have been fine for my last flight.
Yeah.
But that early, it's like now it's ruined decades of flying.
Yeah,
it's
just no good.
So, yeah.
All right. Last up for Weird and Wacky, Amazon's new AWS charge for using IP version 4 is expected to rake in up to $1 billion per year. Change should speed IP version 6 adption. So they're actively charging people for using an old version of the IP addresses then? Like, that's what's happening?
By the way, I like how you say out version, because the rest of
it's say IPv4
and IPv6.
I know.
And you're like, I was feeling expand the acronym Internet Protocol version 6 and Internet Protocol version 4.
That's it.
I am fancy.
Yeah.
I will not abide.
Thank you for noticing how fancy I am. I've got some Grey Poupon upstairs.
I will not abide by your acronyms. I expand my acronyms
on my
into the full
croissant
space. So yes. You know, this change to IPv6 has been in the works for...
it's been a long time.
20 plus years.
Yeah, we talked about it a long time
at this point.
Ago. Yeah.
I don't remember when IPv6 was actually introduced and ratified. But I'm going to look it up while we're talking about this. It was 28 years ago, introduced in December of 95, and yet we still don't have full adoption. There is more and more move towards it, but basically... the IPv4 kind of allocations, they're limited. And so it's expensive to get an allocation now. You basically have to buy it from somebody else,
right?
Or beg very hard, because there's not that much that's not allocated at this point.
Right.
And so Amazon's going to start charging for this. It's not a lot. So if you keep one IP address, I think it's like $40 for the year. But they got a lot of servers
and
a lot of
people
using their
stuff. They're going to make so much money. Oh my gosh.
And so I don't know if this has actually been priced into their revenue models.
So what you're saying is buy Amazon stock right this second. Like, that's really
just like
in
the first episode when we were talking about Snap stock, we do not make stock recommendations.
That's true. That's true. We do.
But I will tell you, I own Amazon stock and I'm probably not going to be selling any of it anytime soon. So
that's a fair point.
We'll see how it goes.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot. First up in Weird and Wacky. Oh my God.
Dude, this guy won't go away.
Adam Newman is trying to buy back WeWork because he wants to crater it a second time. That subtitle was my add-on, not in the actual article. Oh my God.
Oh man, I love that. Like, so... I feel like just the boldness of it. Like, he's like, I am Steve Jobs. I will come back to WeWork and I will make it dominant in the world. Like, You're not him.
Is there a way to guy buy like front row seats or like a video stream of this whole thing? Because I would love to watch this happen, because you know it's going to crater again.
Oh man. Well, and what's so funny is apparently WeWork didn't even respond to him. And so I think he's taking legal action, basically saying like, oh, they have to look at my offer. And WeWork is like, we look at lots of offers. We just haven't responded. We looked at it. We just haven't responded to your stupid offer.
We'll respond when we're done laughing.
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, dude, I just don't. And what's crazy to me too, it talked about his new venture in the article and how it's got venture funding behind, like $200 million of venture funding behind it. I'm like, who in their right mind is going to give this guy money again? Like, I don't understand.
People are dumb. Because you have money doesn't mean you're smart. I think we've seen that and we've talked about that multiple times. I mean, It's only a matter of months after Elizabeth Holmes leaves prison before she raises another round for something. Somebody's going to give her money.
It's true. You're not wrong.
And I don't know. Wasn't he doing some kind of like residential?
Yeah, it's all residential. Yeah, he's got this big residential thing. Where like
has it
big
cratered
communal...
yet?
No, I mean, it seems
still
to be
a few minutes away.
Yeah, it's a few minutes away. It's inevitable, but it's a few minutes away. It's, you know,
flow.
Yeah.
Flow is what it's called. Yeah.
Yes. He wants to own your residential life and your work life. Like, that's really what's going to happen. I'll tell you though. I mean, I will say there's a scenario where not WeWork. I don't think WeWork can ever come back, but I do think remote working is going to continue to grow and there's going to be some kind of dominant player in the space. Like, I just don't see, I've got friends in the commercial real estate space and they're like, oh, commercial real estate's going to come back. People are coming back to work. They can't collaborate the same. I'm like, no, it's not. It's never coming back. Like, it's like, not only is it not coming back because of Zoom, it's not coming back because of Apple Vision Pro. And it's not coming back because working in a MetaQuest workroom is surprisingly good. I tested it out with Mickey the other day. Like,
yeah,
it's not coming like that. The concept of, 95% of your employees in one building is never coming back. It's just not going to. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's some industries where you will have that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because you got to be in person. Yeah. But I think for a lot of people that are knowledge workers or whatever, that
never coming back.
It's just not happening. And I think, we've gotten to the point back in the day, I think you could say like, look, it's got to happen because your access and everything is just so much better.
Yeah.
At work. But dude, I've got gig and we've talked about 5 gig internet being rolled out.
Yeah.
My computer at home is probably better than any computer I'll have at an office.
Your monitor at home is better. Your set, your audio is better. Your chair is better. Everything's better.
You know what my commute is? Zero.
Oh, I mean, it's 30 seconds probably.
Maybe. But that time compared to at a minimum 30 minutes. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour or more. It's like all that productivity, or even if not productivity, it's time I get back
in my
life.
It. That's it. Like, I just had this mental image of you or somebody else, like, all right, time for my commute. Let me put on my podcast. And you start your podcast in your bedroom and walk down the hall and sit down, like, stop your podcast. I got 10 seconds in. All right. It's going to take a long time to get through this episode. So only listen on the commute, right?
Dang it. Anyway. They already released another episode. 80 episodes back now.
Yeah. All right. Last up in Weird and Wacky, and this isn't a news article. It's more of a public service announcement. Your phone is not listening to you. So this has been a pervasive myth for years and years and years. I think our friend Mickey has even written a blog post about it. Your phone is not listening to you. So apparently this myth came out in 2016 and there was kind of this coalescence of several things that happened in 2016. One of which was that, first of all, people started getting paranoid about their phone listening to them. And at the same time, Facebook introduced, I think it was like 56 new ways to target individual people at the in that same year. And so ad targeting got crazy better at the same time that paranoia spiked. And so people are like, oh my gosh, I'm now getting these super hyper-targeted ads. My phone must be listening to me. That's the only explanation. No, the explanation is that Facebook has you dialed in and they know what you and people like you want.
Right.
And they're serving ads up for that. That's really what happened. And that's what continues to happen to this day. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I think this is a function of people that don't understand technology talking about technology.
So
welcome to the podcast.
So like our government, like that's what it is. It's like our government, but like they're asking. Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, it's it can't use dump trucks and it's a series of tubes and
I tell you what,
can't
man,
dump on the internet.
Every single time the government brings in the tech entrepreneurs to speak, I'm just horrified by what I'm saying. It's like the guys that are being grilled are so much smarter than all you people. Like so many standard distributions above your intelligence. It's not even funny. They don't even understand what I just said. They don't even understand what I'm saying. They don't even know that. So
what's a standard distribution?
What is that? I don't even know.
Okay, Adam, first up on Tech Rec is you. What do you got for us this week?
All right. So as I mentioned, I have been getting more and more into the Meta Quest 3 for like gaming, but also like I tested out the other day with a buddy for like an interactive environment to like do a work session. I also tested out for like being able to connect to my laptop screen and have like 3 virtual monitors up in front of me at all times. Uh-huh. Which I think is kind of a cool idea for like travel. You know, if you need to like work while you travel and but obviously you don't really want to take a monitor with you, so you just take the headset with you, which is kind of an interesting idea. So, but the problem with the Meta Quest 3 is that the battery dies and also the amount of weight on the front of your face kind of becomes tedious and cumbersome after a while. And so I got the Kiwi Design Comfort Battery Head Strap that includes a battery on the back. And so the battery on the back sort of balances out the weight a little bit, which is nice. And it also, once my Quest battery starts to die, I can just literally just reach to my headset, plug in the backup battery, and now I can keep going, which is really nice. So it's kind of great. I would actually say this is kind of one of the things that's missing from the Apple side of things, is because there's no way to balance the weight right now with the Apple setup. It's just all on the front of your face the whole time. So, and it's actually, the Apple Vision Pro is heavier than the Meta Quest 3, for anyone that's wondering. So,
It's interesting that they didn't think that through, the design of both of these devices, of like, hey, we got to balance the weight because it's on your head.
Yeah. Well, I think so. Like, so Meta sells their own battery. So I think that's part. So it's their, you know, my guess is that eventually Apple will figure that out. But the downside is it does kind of poke out off the back of your head. So if you were to like want to use the device while like laying down to like watch a movie or something, like that would be a problem. So I could see several scenarios where having the battery pack is actually a problem, not a benefit.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I find it a more holistic benefit than a problem. So
can you just plug it into power directly and not have it on battery?
Yeah, you can. You can basically like have an extension. I mean, what I've done before I had this setup is like I had an extension cord in my office, and I'd run the extension cord, and then I'd plug the Quest charger into the extension cord and plug it into the Quest, and then stick the extension cord into my pocket. And then I'd just be walking around with the extension cord hanging out of my pocket, which, you know, worked fine. It's just kind of annoying. You get tripped up over it.
But if you're sitting in one place, say you're traveling,
yes,
and you want the multiple monitors, you're not going to be walking around.
That's true. That's true.
So you could sit in one place and just have it plugged in and not worry about the battery life then.
Okay, yeah, you just have to have a very long cable for it just so you have plenty of movement. But yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
100%. Okay, cool.
All right, Sanjay, what is your tech rec for this week? I have a feeling it's in a certain theme.
It is in that home automation, home moving around stuff. So previously I talked about the Ori USB over IP network extender. Now I've got a 4K HDMI extender over a network, over IP Cat 6. And so this device has a little transmitter and a receiver, and you can get multiple receivers. And basically it allows you to transport a HDMI signal over a Ethernet network that you might have in your house. And so what I'm going to be using this for is actually plugging in my Xbox that is going to stay stationary in one location into the home network, and then be able to look at that Xbox on any of a multiple TVs. So the idea is going to be, I want to play, and by the way, I haven't played in many, many weeks and months now with y'all.
I mean, your name is Mud, basically.
I know. Hopefully soon, maybe tonight.
They're all like, Sun who? And I'm like, I don't know, man.
But the idea is then I can go to whatever TV is available where people aren't, because I tend to be loud when I'm playing with you guys.
I never would have guessed that.
Especially in the middle of a battle. And so then I don't have to worry about where the Xbox is, and I can just kind of plug in wherever I want to be and take it from there. So
that's really cool.
I actually had a earlier version, a less capable version of this, which I've not recommended because I tried it and it didn't work. And now I've got to actually unmount the TV from the wall to remove the device from behind it. This one I tried before implementing it. So I'm going to be swapping them out, and hopefully I'll have this all set up soon.
Nice. Love it. All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at my website, sanjayparekh.com. Hopefully you can spell it, because if you can't, then you can't find it. What about you, Adam?
They can find me on my website at adamjwalker.com. It's got all the links to all the things. Go there. And a happy 7-year anniversary!
7 years! We should have gotten a cake.
Ooh, I like cake. What is that? I don't even know.